Random House Audio presents Free Falling as If in a Dream, The Story of a Crime by Leif G.W. Paschen. Translated from the Swedish by Paul Norlin. Read for you by Eric Davies. To Mikael and the Bear. Regardless of whether truth is absolute or relative, and quite apart from the fact that many of us constantly seek it, in the end it is still hidden from almost all of us. As a rule, out of necessity, and if for no other reason, out of concern for those who wouldn't understand anyway. There is no law of public access with regard to the truth. We have a practical problem that we have to solve, and it's no more difficult than that. The Professor. Wednesday, October 10. The harbor in Puerto Poyenza on North Mallorca. Just before 7 o'clock in the morning, Esperanza left her usual place at the charter pier in the harbor. A beautiful little boat with a beautiful name. Chapter 1. 8 weeks earlier, Wednesday, August 15. Headquarters of the National Bureau of Criminal Investigation on Kungsholmen in Stockholm.
Olof Palme, said the chief of the National Bureau of Criminal Investigation, Lars Martin Johansson. Are you familiar with that name, ladies and gentlemen?
For some reason, he seemed almost joyful as he said it. Just back from vacation with a becoming suntan, red suspenders, and linen shirt with no tie as a lighthearted signal of the transition from relaxation to responsibility. He leaned forward in his seat at the short end of the conference table, letting his gaze wander across the four others gathered around the same table. The joy seemed to be his alone. Doubtful looks were exchanged among three of the four. Police Superintendent Anna Holt, Detective Chief Inspector Jan Levine, and Detective Chief Inspector Lisa Mate, while the fourth in the group, Chief Inspector Yngve Flücht, who was head of the Palma group, seemed, if anything, embarrassed by the question and tried to compensate by looking politely preoccupied.
Olof Palme,
Johansson repeated, his voice now sounding more urgent.
Does that ring any bells?
The one who finally answered was Lisa Mate, the youngest of the group, but long accustomed to the role of best in class. First, she glanced at the head of the Palma investigation, who only nodded and looked tired. Then she looked down at her notepad, which incidentally was free of any notes or the doodling with which she usually filled it, whatever was being discussed. Then in two sentences, she summarized Olof Palme's political career, and in four sentences, his end.
Olof Palme, said Mate, social democrat and Sweden's most well-known politician during the post-war period, prime minister for two terms, from 1969 to 1976, and from 1982 to 1986, was murdered at the intersection of Sveavägen and Tunnelgatan in central Stockholm 21 years, 5 months, and 14 days ago. It was Friday, the 28th of February, 1986, 20 minutes past 11. He was shot from behind with one shot and appears to have died almost immediately. I was 11 years old when it happened, so I'm afraid I don't have much more to contribute, Mate concluded.
Don't say that, said Johansson with a Norland drawl. Our victim was the Prime Minister and a fine fellow. And how common is this kind of crime victim at this sort of place? True, I'm only the head of the National Bureau of Criminal Investigation, but I'm also an orderly person and extremely allergic to unsolved cases, he continued. I take them personally, if you're wondering why you're here.
No one had wondered about that. No one seemed particularly enthusiastic either.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?